This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our romp through Romans, exchanging the natural for the unnatural. Stop the judging already! Christ, the only judge, the conscience, and an honest appraisal. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to go through listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. We leave the comment line open 24/7 for all of our listeners, and especially our on-demand listeners, who often are listening, well, on-demand well into the past, and they may have a question or comment or want to join the conversation. That comment line, 618-223-8382, and the Issues Etc. email address, always useful for the same reason, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Craig, Todd mentioned this over the weekend that he took the mic kill switch. I'm sitting in Todd's studio. Todd's broadcasting from a hidden bunker somewhere in southern Illinois. And so there's no kill switch for me, so be sure to kill me when Todd's talking so I don't say something stupid or while we're talking Cardinals baseball while Todd's answering,
responding to your listener email. Happening.
Right. Well, you know, Wilkin, it's May 4th. We promise our listeners we make an announcement regarding the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. And this comes from Mark. So what's the status of the Making the Case Conference in June?
Well, it's a very good question. We did promise that we would at least give out some tentative plans. So what we have decided to do, and this is, again, tentatively, we've decided to reschedule the conference for July the 24th and Saturday, July the 25th. So basically about a month and a half later than it would have been. Still at Concordia University, Chicago. Now, if the state of Illinois, that's where Chicago is, still has its kind of limits on gatherings, and that would not allow 500. Late in July, we were considering some other options. Among them, these are just options that we're considering, some of them better than others, a different Midwest location for the same dates, July 24 and 25. That would move us out of the state of Illinois to avoid those restrictions. Maybe a conference live stream or recording. That's a possibility as well. Further down the line, we might have to consider a fall conference. After all, we did hold this thing in November for years and years. Or I think kind of the nuclear option, which we hope not to have to do, and that is no conference in 2020. But the tentative plan is that it is rescheduled and confirmed for Concordia University, Chicago, Friday, July the 24th, and Saturday, July the 25th.
And if you are a paid registrant, you should have received an email from us this morning. Be sure to let Lynn Fredrickson know if you're coming or not, because we do have a waiting list and we still have people contacting us that want to attend the conference. Her email address is Lynn, L-Y-N-N, at issuesetc.org. You would contact her if you've paid for registration and say, hey, I can't come. Also, if you register for other people, like you register for you and your wife, let us know that both of you won't be coming or that you will be coming. And you can also contact her to get on the waiting list for the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, tentatively rescheduled for Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th at Concordia University, Chicago.
So, I mean, I just want to remind our listeners, especially those who are interested in attending or planning on attending, logistically, this has really been a nightmare for Jeff to try and figure out what to do next. And it is very frustrating not to be able to say, we're definitely doing this. We're getting a good lesson in if the Lord wills it, or in some cases, if Governor Pritzker wills it. We're getting a good lesson in that. But Jeff has been working tirelessly to try, and he's got to confirm with the venue, he's got to confirm with all sorts of people, including our excellent speakers. Will we still, in July, if we end up holding in that weekend in July, will we still have all of our excellent speakers there, Jeff?
Everyone, with the exception of Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, we're working to reschedule him for the 2021 conference. Dr. Robert George of Princeton University will be there. Journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway will be there. Pastor Hans Feeney, Brian Wolfmiller, and Will Whedon, and of course, Wilkin will be there as well. But we do need to fill one speaking slot in the absence of Dr. Albert Mohler.
Yeah, Dr. Mohler has a day job that requires him to get his seminary ready to open, if possible, late in the summer as well, so he had to decline. What's next?
Mercedes writes, very disappointed in the resurrection in Mark's gospel with Dr. Jim Veltz, and yet you still encore it. Whole verses are not a scribe's mistake only. This is a very serious accusation to the first generations of Christians. We don't seem to be standing on giants' shoulders, but to be stumping on dwarfs, because those who believe that Mark 16 doesn't have 20 verses assume that the church fathers, the church bishops of old, their scribes, etc., had no regard for Revelation 22:18-19, had no fear of God, that the church of old didn't care to hand down a corrupted text to the next generations, and besides that Jesus Christ is less than almighty to preserve his word whole and uncorrupted. Most important, in the 19th century, Dean John W. Bergen already replied to this question very satisfactorily in his book, The Last 12 Verses of the Gospel, according to St. Mark. If only pastors took the time to check it out. Should I believe a scholar faithful to the Orthodox Catholic Apostolic faith, or scholars who are unfaithful to the Christian faith, or even may belong to other religions? The answer is very easy. Thanks for the feedback, Mercedes.
Now, she's referring to an interview that we did with Dr. Veltz. What year was that, Jeff? Do you happen to know?
I can find out shortly.
Okay. Jeff can always find out. It was recorded, I will safely say, years ago. That's pretty vague, isn't it? It was recorded years ago with him on the resurrection in Mark. I think we did deal with the so-called longer ending of Mark. And already at the time, he was leaning kind of against it being authentic and canonical. And at the time, the reason that Wilkin doesn't challenge him in that encore interview, there are a lot of other very good things in that interview, but the reason I did not challenge him on the longer ending is I simply had not looked into the situation myself that deeply. I had not looked at the literature in favor of keeping the long ending, and I certainly had not, and this is one of my big objections, I completely agree with you, listener, that we simply cannot, Lutherans of all people, cannot dismiss the long ending, and there's a good reason for that. One, it is not by any means the unanimous opinion of the church throughout history that it is inauthentic. It's a mixed bag. Just because it does not appear in the earliest known manuscripts does not mean it is not authentic. I think sometimes kind of too cool for school Christians want to dismiss the longer ending because it's got that snake handling in there. And of course, we don't want to be anything like those snake handlers. Well, look, Jesus also says you will tread on scorpions. And by the way, the snake handling thing actually happened with St. Paul. He was bitten by a poisonous snake and it didn't kill him. So there's nothing kooky about the long ending of Mark. Some people have pointed to stylistic differences. I don't know enough about that. But the reason why I, as a Lutheran, a confessionally Lutheran pastor, cannot reject the long ending of Mark is because my Lutheran fathers didn't reject it either. In particular, the longer ending of Mark is cited, I think, 16 times. Not only the verses that come into question, but the whole longer ending is cited 16 times in the Book of Concord. And they cite it wholly as Scripture, entirely as Scripture. They give it full credence to Scripture. They never call it into question. And in particular, Martin Luther, in the Small Catechism, which is part of the Lutheran Confessions, cites a verse from Mark 16, for the longer ending of Mark, and he calls it the words and promises of God. It's with reference to baptism. The words and promises of God. When he says, what are these words and promises? He says, the words and promises of God, or he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Luther regarded them as Scripture, and since I am bound to the Lutheran Confessions, not to Luther, but to the Lutheran Confessions, when the Confessions say that that verse is in fact the promises and words of God, I am bound to believe that, regardless of what this opinion of scholars may say. I have a lot of respect for Dr. Veltz, but on this one, I'll just be honest, I think he's wrong. I don't think it's a hill to die on, but I think when our confession cited as Scripture, we ought to afford it the respect that they did as well.
Paul writes, Hey, Pastor Wilkin and Jeff, is there a way to eliminate some of the voice interruptions on the Lutheran Public Radio music channel? I listen using the LPR app. The interruptions break the continuity of the beautiful ecclesiastical music. Thanks. Concludes
Paul. So, Jeff, this is a technical problem that we've had before where, correct me if I'm wrong, when the connection is weak and it reconnects, it automatically plays what we call in the business a pre-roll spot. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I saw an email from you earlier today that you had contacted our stream company and said, why is this happening again? Have we heard anything?
Lord Feichninger contacted Stream Guys. I think it's bogus, but it's worth a try. So I had the exact same problem, Paul. I feel your pain. I was trying to prepare a deck this weekend to be stained, and there is a portion in my yard where my internet goes out. So when you listen on the LPR app and you lose an internet connection, it thinks you're a new listener, and it'll play one of these short pre-roll commercials. They're like 10, 15-second spots. It is very annoying, extremely annoying. We have it set to only play if you've been listening for a half hour at a time. We thought we had this problem resolved. Now, for some reason, recently, it seems to have returned. So the recommendation from the Stream Guys for now, we're not giving up, but is to go into the settings on your phone, open the settings app, tap privacy, scroll down to the bottom of the page and tap advertising, and finally toggle the limit ad tracking switch. So open the settings app, tap privacy, scroll down to the bottom of the page and tap advertising, finally toggle the limit ad tracking switch. I just did that on my phone, but anyway, that's something that you could try until we get more definitive answer from our streaming service provider.
Yeah, your phone will likely have a function that can basically tell it, don't send me any more ads like this. And look, it's happening automatically. We're not breaking in. It's just happening automatically every time the wireless or the cellular connection gets too weak. When we come back, we're going to be going through a little bit more listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Are you still grieving, even months after the passing of someone in your life? The effects of grief, loss, and mourning are long-lived, even if it seems the rest of the world has moved on. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Living with Grief at issuesetc.org. When you purchase Living with Grief, be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. What's next?
Let's try to get through these three questions quickly from Andrew. One, could you please stop entertaining questions and comments about online communion?
Well, our listeners keep asking them, and to be quite honest, it's still something that not everyone listens all the time and can hear every answer. And not everyone listens actually to this particular segment, to listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. So when the questions come in, we do try to provide as complete an answer as we can. I do know that it's been the subject of a lot of conversation, not only here on Issues Etc. We are answering the questions that our listeners have. Sometimes there's a different angle on a question like this that needs to be addressed.
Two, as much as I enjoy your hymn studies, I must wonder why you choose to use the tunes from Lutheran Service Book instead of those from the Lutheran Hymnal. The story on favorite Easter hymns was great, but choosing to use those medieval-sounding dirges from LSB instead of the bright and cheerful tunes from TLH was off-putting. The tunes for Ye Sons and Daughters of the King and Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain are so much better, in my opinion, from TLH than LSB.
The reason that we are using the LSB settings is because the vast majority of people who use a Lutheran hymnal, are using LSB. I know that there are still people who use the Lutheran hymnal. That's nothing wrong with that.
You're speaking in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
In the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the vast majority of congregations that use a hymnal are using LSB. They just did a fantastic job of not only producing a great hymnal, but they also did a fantastic job of rolling it out, and congregations were ready for this hymnal and the excellent resources that it brought. So that's the reason we use it is the most commonly sung. We want to connect this to the hymns that people actually will be singing, and so it's the most commonly sung hymnal in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Yes, and I can assure you, had we chosen a tune from TLH for one of these Easter hymns, we would have gotten many more complaints than we did from the single complaint that we just received from Andrew.
Yeah, and you have to choose, and sometimes it is actually based, we try to go with the Lutheran Service Book, but sometimes it's based on available recordings. So that's the reason.
Three, do Lutherans consider the Eucharist in a Catholic and Orthodox church to be valid? If so, why is ours not considered valid? When did Lutherans and Catholics stop commuting at each other's churches? Thanks for the great programs. Thank you for listening, Andy.
As to when they stopped commuting at each other's churches, they never did commute at each other's churches. Historically, Christians have practiced closed communion. I've written about that recently. So it's not as though we were all communing together, all these different churches, and then suddenly we stopped. If you want to talk about when the Western Church and the Eastern Church excommunicated one another, they actually did. That was 1054, I believe. So that's a long time ago, called the Great Schism. So they no longer commune with one another. They still regard the other's sacraments as valid, is as good a word as any. They regard it as the sacrament. That's the best way to talk about it. And then as to when Lutherans split off, that's obviously at the time of the Reformation, when the Lutheran confessors were extremely clear about this, that once the gospel had come clear to them, they could no longer commune at Roman altars. They recognized the false teaching that was taking place there, not with respect to Christ's presence and the benefits, but with respect to what was actually happening there. So, but the Lutherans never said of, say, the Church of Rome or of the East, they don't have the sacrament. They say they have attached abuses to the sacrament, and they do not necessarily teach rightly in every respect about the sacrament, but they still regarded them as having the sacrament, which in a way kind of makes it even worse because they're abusing something that is holy. And so do we regard Roman Eastern sacraments as a sacrament in case of the sacrament of the altar? Yes, we do. But we do not, and we must constantly warn against the errors that have been attached to the teaching of Christ when it comes to the Lord's Supper.
Pastor Todd, I'm calling in regard to Matins, Vespers, morning and evening prayer, Compline, the responsive prayer, and the litany. And I'm wondering, you broadcast the service from Cramer Chapel, if it would be possible to have a service that could be broadcast, you know, and available for somebody to click on, of Matins, Vespers, morning and evening prayer, Compline, responsive prayer. You know, just, you know, when it's, you know, like early in the morning, you have Matins. I'm not talking about a full service. I'm not talking about a sermon. I'm just talking about, you know, a basic service, you know, for Matins that people could click on. Because I've found, especially since I've retired, I really enjoy doing these and miss them if I don't do them. That's my question. Bye.
You know, that's a fantastic idea. It's a fantastic idea. Now, yes, we do broadcast every weekday morning at 9 a.m. Central, morning chapel from Cramer Chapel, which is sometimes Matins, and on Wednesdays it's a Eucharist service. Right now they're doing, what are they doing there, Jeff? They're kind of doing the ultimate in social distancing at Cramer Chapel. It's just usually the officiant slash preacher and, if I'm not mistaken, the cantor. So it sounds very quiet and lonely, but they're still holding the services, not only for their sake, but also for their students' sake, but also for the sake of our listeners, too. The students can still access those daily chapel services and be able to hear them, and I think they're even streamed on video. And that way, you cannot overestimate how central to the life of the formation of these young pastors and deaconesses to be at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, how central those chapel services are to the life of that faculty and their students. They have built the seminary around that chapel, not just physically, but in terms of all of their efforts at formation. It's not an aside. It's central to their life there. And that's a very commendable thing. I'm glad they're still doing it. This idea about doing maybe Matins and then Vespers in the morning and evening, if we could find a way of doing that where it would be new every day like we would have from Cramer Chapel, I think that would be a fantastic idea. More than just a few people would benefit from that.
Well, they do have evening services right after the conclusion of Issues, etc. at 5 Central at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we've been talking with them for years about allowing us to stream that live. So again, you can listen to Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, weekday mornings at 9 Central, and hopefully maybe in the future at 5 Central. May I plug St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois, where we have daily chapel services during the school year, and right now, I know all those are being broadcast on Facebook Live. So look at St. Paul Lutheran Church, Hamel, Illinois, and you can see the services you're requesting with Pastor Ball, Pastor Whedon, and Pastor Gleason.
That sounds fantastic. What's next, Jeff?
One final email. Mark says, because I was raised Roman Catholic, I think I am more aware of this issue. I understand grace to mean God's unmerited favor towards us. But often when I hear it used, there seems to be more to it than just that. I know it can't be a substance or merit as understood by the Roman Catholic Church with their treasury of grace distributed as they desire in response to giving or good behavior. Would you please take a moment to help me? Thanks for the email, Mark.
We need to be careful here because Scripture does use the word grace primarily, and this should be the primary way we think of it, as a disposition in the Holy Trinity itself, that is, in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit, they have this disposition, undeserved, unmerited, unearned toward us, that we call grace, God's favorable disposition for us for Christ's sake. They don't just love us, they love us for Christ's sake. Now, that's the primary way that we should understand grace used in the Scripture. There is another way that grace is used in the Scripture, and it's not so much an attribute of man, it's really never an attribute of man, but it does kind of sound substancey, as you mentioned there before, But we need to always run that way of talking about grace through the primary way so that we don't end up with talking about two different kinds of grace. We could talk about grace and the way grace is manifest in the life of the believer, the way that grace is received or, let's, for lack of a better word, even experienced in the life of the believer. But it always has to run primarily from that definition where grace is not located in us, although Scripture talks about it being in us. It is in us only because we are in Christ. It is in us only because it is in God. The comfort of this is that grace then becomes something that is outside of us. The old term is extranos. That it is not something that we contribute to. It's not something that we in any way earn. It is entirely in God. And when it is outside of us, it is certain. That's not the way we usually think about things. We're taught to think about only the things that are in you are really certain. But Scripture has an entirely different view on the matter. It is only those things that are truly outside of us, an objective in Jesus Christ, that are absolutely certain. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to be talking with Matt Walsh about the church's capitulation to the culture. He's got a lot to say. And then we're going to be talking with Dr. Ken Sherb on what Martin Luther thought about the Book of Acts, an ongoing series with him, Studies in Acts. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.